Blog Talk Radio.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh, yes.
Anoint my feet,
celebrating down.
Raining down, here on the battleground.
For your glory,
we're taking territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. Certainly, I want to thank my co-host, Evangelist Missionary Terry Rogers, for being such a gracious co-host and co-hosting this show. She's done a phenomenal job, and I thank God for her. You know, I thank God for God putting people in your path to be encouraging and helpful. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. Happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. Certainly, I want to thank God for my own mother, Mother Johnny Carey. I honor her, and I honor all mothers because Sunday is Mother's Day, which Mother's Day is tomorrow. And unfortunately, we're quarantined. We're in the house, and Mother's Day is not going to look like it's been looking. Certainly, we are in a new normal, but God is able. God is moving, and God has the final say. We want to go into announcements right now. I started to say, well, I'm just going to forego the announcements. Most of you that have been listening to the show know about the announcements, but the Spirit of the Lord said no, so I'm going to read them. If you need food, if you're experiencing, we're sheltering in place, so if you need help with food, call 311. This is in the Chicago area, 312-744-5000 if you need a food box, and that's in the Chicago area. Certainly, we know that if you need shelter information, people can text 552-020 on their cell phones or go to www.dhs.state.il.us/ASPX. So if you're able to on your website, you can certainly go that to those resources. Of course, we in for another month, and if you've been watching the news, you know that the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois are rolling out plans to open up, and those plans in five phases, and currently we are on phase two. We continue to shelter in. They are opening up some essential businesses or some essential non-businesses, as they call. But if you need help, certainly you can either call me, 309-750, for help, for more information, and I certainly will try to get you the help you need. And I just want to announce that Amazing Grace Ministries, starting this Thursday, will be coming on Blog Talk, and we will be doing a encouraging information dealing with the issues of COVID-19, some of the things that you need to do, how to cope, and what does the Bible say? And certainly we've been encouraging you. The theme on this month, we've been another month, is complete restoration, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But certainly the world is trying to go back or get back to normalcy after being hit with such a plague that's now metamorphosizing, it's changing. But God is still in control. So we're going to start this show this Thursday coming up. Let me give you a date for that show. It will be the 14th. Hallelujah. We are ready. Next week will be the second month of May. So that will be the 14th of May. We will start at 7 p.m. And, of course, the same number that you call in for this show will be the same number for that show, and that's 213-943-3703, and that's the call-in number. If you have any questions, of course, you can text me. And I want to say this. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, my number has been on my my P.O. Box address has been given. You can bless this ministry or send a check to my P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. So let's get into the lesson, shall we? We thank God for what he's given us for this month of May. The theme of this month is God's complete restoration. And certainly we're looking at reopening. We're looking at going back to work. And what will the state of affairs, what will this world look like once we get out of quarantine, once the shelter in place has been lifted? Certainly, we need to deal with that. Now, last week we talked about persistence under pressure and perseverance when it counts. So we need to know that the Lord is with us. We need to understand that God has not left us. And those of us that know the Lord have a relationship with God and can call on the name of the Lord and know that he will show up. We are to show his light to this dying world, to let the world know that Christ is the answer. So today's lesson, we're dealing with restoration according to Zephaniah. Hallelujah. According to Zephaniah. I'm going to Zephaniah, y'all. So let's read the word, shall we? We're going to Zephaniah 2, verses 1 through 3. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not desired, before the decree bring forth before the day passes as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. We go on to Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thy is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee. And I just want to, that was the King James Version. I want to say the same scripture, and I'm going to say it in a different version. And this is the New Living Translation Version. And sometimes it's good, if you're studying the Bible, if you're studying the Word of the Lord, to get you a different version so that you can understand clearly what the Bible is saying. And this version says, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears, and he will rejoice over you with singing." So it's my custom to talk about some words and to define some words so we can understand clearly what we're dealing with. So when we look at the word restoration, it means the act of restoring, or the condition of restored, such as bringing a former position or condition, reinstatement, the restoration of peace. And you look at reinstatement, and that is also means, or the word also means, a restoring to unimpaired or improved condition, the restoration of painting, so forth and so on. It also means the replacing of missing teeth or crowns, but that's not what we're dealing with today. Something that is restored. And I like the words reconditioned, reconstruction of original form. And I had to go even further to look at restored. It restoration has restored in it. But restoring, well, okay, what does that mean? Well, restored just means to give back, to return, to put or to bring back into existence or use, to bring back, to put or put back into a formal or renewal state. And I like the word that they give for this is to renew. So in essence, what we're looking for in this day and time, we're looking for the Lord to renew, to do a new thing in us, to do a new thing within the world that we're living in, because certainly we understand that we're living in the last days. Think it not strange that these things have come upon you. Think it not strange that we're living in a time where we're being sheltered in. People talk about, well, I never would have lived to see this day. But if we look back in history, if we look at the plagues that have gone before us, if we go back 100 years ago, we see that there was a plague that certainly came upon us. But we are living in a day that restoration needs to take place. So let's look at the history of Zephaniah. Zephaniah lived during one of the worst times in the history of Judah, under the evil reign of King Manasseh. Fortunately for Judah, it had Josiah came on the scene. And certainly when we look at King Josiah, his reign was a glorious period. Okay? So during this period, Zephaniah prophesied. He was quick to condemn the idolatrous worship of the Canaanites and the agent, the Assyrian deities. So he was He was on the Canaanites, or he was on Judah, for worshiping the gods that they had no business worshiping. Sorry about that. Another call came in, got a little distracted. But praise the God anyway. So we were talking about the idolatrous worship. So you had the Canaanites, you had the Assyrian deities that Judah was worshiping. You had the Philistines, you had the Moabites, the Ammonites, you had Ethiopians, you had Assyrians. So you had all of these people that surrounded Judah, and certainly Judah was influenced by those nations. Zephaniah also foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, and also his glorious restoration, or her glorious restoration. And it is funny, if we look at what's going on in today's time, if you look at what's happening now, you look at where we are in history, you see the idolatrous worship. It might not be false gods, but it's the God of the television, is the God of I'm going to put everything in front of the Lord, and I'm going to do my thing, and certainly I'm going to work, and I'll get you on Sunday when I can, Lord. But, oh, we are sheltered in place, and some that want to work, they can at this point. But the book of Zephaniah reveals the prophet's heritage, first of all. Back to Zephaniah. When we look at the book of Zephaniah, and certainly I will encourage you to look at that book, certainly when we're dealing with this time that we're living in, it looks like those books of captivity and restoration seems to fit in with the history that the situation that we're going through right now. So when we look at the book of Zephaniah, it reveals the prophet's heritage, first of all. It identifies basically Zephaniah's parents. He was a Cushite. He was an Ethiopian. He was from the descendant of King Hezekiah, which made him or gave him noble blood. So Zephaniah probably lived in Judah and possibly Jerusalem, since he clearly knew the city so well. So Zephaniah mentions the presence of pagan kings and priests, the worship of Baal, and the practice of astrology in Judah. You know, if you look at the Word of God, ain't nothing new under the sun. Ain't nothing new that have happened in the Bible days that is not happening now. People were worshiping Baal. They're worshiping false gods now. People are dealing with idolatry, and they were even studying astrology. What is astrology? It's looking at your sign and trying to figure out what your sign is telling you. Oh, my sign says I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Yes, God made us. Yes, God, yes, we are unique. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So if we're operating on any other advice other than the Word of God, then we are out of order. His position among other prophets is unique. And in that he prophesied during a period of revival. I know that we are sheltered in, we're closed in, but this is a grand time for revival. It's a grand time to show the people that are sheltered in, to get a voice out to say that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or think if you turn your face towards him, if you turn from wrath, then God will bless you abundantly. Hallelujah. I still get excited when I start reading the word. So Zephaniah's message is clear. Judah's indifference and stubbornness and refusal to obey God's will bring his judgment, his wrath. So according to Zephaniah 1:1, the prophecy took place during the early periods or the early portion of the reign of Josiah. Revival didn't come under the reign of Josiah until 18 years after he took the throne. So we get a clear picture, and I want you to understand that even restoration takes time. Even to restore back to the things, to begin to purify, to begin to change our ways, to begin to seek God in time. And if we looking at the plan, the five-phase plan that the state and the city is taking on and states are taking on to bring back to some normalcy to our environment, to open up governments, to open up churches. But we, saints of God, need to still pray. And I said some time ago that we are praying more. I'm praying more than now than I did before. I've gone back to fasting on Tuesdays and Fridays because I need to understand and I want the will of the Lord to be done in my life. Hallelujah. And I know that you're on this line. You want the same thing too. So Zephaniah brings up the lack of justice in the land, the opposition of the poor, the wealth that was gained by violence, you know, fraudulent practices, the people that forsake the Lord under the evil reign of Manasseh, and they were still worshiping Baal. So he had a lot to deal with. Many were worshiping and swearing oaths by the name of other deities that were not the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, God ain't gonna deal with you, and he can only swear by himself, and he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he said that you can't have no other God beside him, because that's how powerful, that's how awesome our God is. Hallelujah. They had sacrifices of worship to these deities, to these gods that were not the big God, the God Jehovah. Hallelujah. But Zephaniah was telling the people, look, you've got to turn back. You got to turn back to the Lord. So because they had completely turned their back on God. But God said that you have to, or Zephaniah said, you have to begin and turn back to the Lord. You've got to turn your hearts back to me. So the prophet's message was clear concerning the day of the Lord, which is mentioned continuously throughout this book. Hallelujah. On that day, the Lord will personally deal with those who have forsaken him and became corrupt. The day of the Lord is a day of destruction, a terrible day, a day in which very few will escape. Zephaniah 3 reveals the blessings of the day of the Lord, they will be pure language, that everyone may come unto the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Zephaniah 3:9. He gives a beautiful image of the fortunes of the daughter of Zion. God will do away with their sins, their lies, their deceitful tongue, and they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13. The judgment here is threefold. It involves purifying, purging, and restoration. Zephaniah was a contemporary prophet of Jeremiah and was one of the prophets, or one of the last prophets before captivity. Zephaniah's types of complex pictures of restorations, he gave them. Many changes are necessary in order for God's children to fully be restored to a new day. And if we parallel today's situation with Zephaniah, we begin to see that there are many things that need to change before we can go back to the way things or some type of normalcy, which there probably won't be. We won't be able to go back to things the same way. And certainly this time, God is saying that he's on his way back. He's restoring us. He's moving those that have forgotten or those that have been distracted, those that have said, well, you know, God, I got to go to work. Well, you can't go to work now. You got to pray. Sunday morning, you're looking for a service, and you can't go into the house or the church house, but you got to go online or you got to go on the telephone to listen to a word from the Lord. God's people, we are chasing after him more and more and more, and the saints, the older saints, are going home, and the younger generation seems to be taking all of this for granted. We see on the news where you got big crowds, you got big crowds of millennials and that generation just out there without the knowledge of understanding of what they're doing. But God is gathering, God is calling. God is saying, my people must turn from wrath. God's people must turn to serving God only. God's people must turn away from opposing each other, and enemies must turn away from opposing God's people. It seems nearly impossible to believe that all this change can come, especially when we have suffered or the people have suffered so long. Yea, there are two lessons for reflection here. We are God's people, and we can make different decisions that turn us in the right directions and make us a participant of our own restoration. So when we look at full restoration, when we look at what it means, and restoration don't happen overnight. Restoration is not something that we pick up and we say, I'm going to be restored right now, and I'm done. No, it doesn't happen that way. We need, it's a process by which we begin to turn our faces back towards the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, we got all kinds of technology, but I thank God for the saints. I thank God for the saints of old, the saints of God, and Bishop Mason, who prayed the Church of God of Christ out, those who prayed, those prayer warriors. And what is evident, or what is the key thing here now, is that the saints of God, if you don't have a prayer life, you need one. You need to pray. You need to pray in season and out of season. The Bible says pray without ceasing. That means don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. We need to pray in the morning. We need to pray in the afternoon. We need to pray in the evening hours. We need to lift our voices towards Zion and lift it loud and say, God, we need your help. We need you to move in and do some things in us. God, we need salvation for our family members because we don't want to see them lost. We thank God for the saints. You know, so many bishops are being called home. So many people are being called home. But God is still in the midst. God is still restoring. God is still saying, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. Certainly we got to humble ourselves. We got to turn from our wicked ways, and then we got to pray, and we've got to seek God like never before. Have your way in me, God. Have your way in me as I sit at home, as I seek you the more. I want you to have your way in me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's just like me. Hallelujah. The Lord will take over. Hallelujah. But we are talking about full restoration. Then we go back to Zephaniah Hallelujah. 3, and we're in chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. It reads, "Behold, at the time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halt, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and frame in every hand where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you together, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes," said the Lord. You know, hallelujah. The above verses remind us that God's restoration is complete. When we look at the restoration, when we look at what God is doing, when we look at God, what God is doing in this season, in this time, God will restore, God will complete the restoration in us. Hallelujah. When we look at the remnants, when we look at the things that were going wrong, people were dealing with the issues of spiritual and emotional and mental well-being, and certainly dealing with social isolation, and we are dealing with those things now. People are dealing with the loss of their spirituality. They're dealing with the loss of the emotions. They're shut up together in a home. They're shut up with their loved ones. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to deal with each other. The well-being, mental well-being, the lack of stability, the lack of coping. I saw on the news the other day that now those that are using their coping mechanisms by using alcohol, the stores that where you can purchase alcohol, they are doing phenomenal business, and those that are sheltering in home don't understand or don't have the coping abilities to understand that they have to turn and seek the Lord and find themselves in prayer and reading the Word, so they're drinking more because they don't understand how to cope. But God says, and God is able to restore, God is able to purify us, God is able to direct us into a new path, hallelujah, where there is no lack, hallelujah, that the opposed, the castaway, those that feel like their future has been robbed, people are trying to get on unemployment, and unemployment is at an all-time high, and people don't understand where they're going. They don't understand whether or not they're going to pay their mortgage. They don't understand, and of course, property taxes are just looming around the corner, but God is our resource. God is our source. God will provide for all of our needs. So when we look to the Lord, God is saying that I love you so much, hallelujah, that even in the current situation that we in, God will provide for our needs. Hallelujah. When we look at it, when we look at that verse, and I keep going to that verse, the Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. What does that mean, saints of the Lord? I'm going to tell you what it means. Here is the real basis of our courage and our hope. The Lord is in the midst of us. When people turn and give the Lord the glory, when they turn and they turn back to him, the word translates that God is a mighty warrior. God is mighty within us, Gabor. God is our hero. God is our warrior. God will supply our needs. God is the mighty, chief or armor commander in chief. Thank you, Lord. So when we think when we look at that word Gibor, G-I-B-B-O-R, it means mighty. And when we put El Gibor on it, it means mighty God. God is mighty. God is awesome. He is an awesome God that will supply all of our needs. If we come before his presence with singing, if we come before him and lift him up, if we continue to sing praises unto him, we don't have to worry about being sheltered in place. We don't have to worry about resources, because God said that he will supply all of our needs. Yes, there may be food that's needed. There may be finances that's needed. But God will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Hallelujah. God here in the word, in Isaiah, and you find the word mighty God in Isaiah 9 and 16 and 10 and 21, where it refers as God as our divine warrior, and he has declared peace for us. He will save us. He will deliver us. He will deliver us from battle. He will wreak havoc on our enemies because we fear the Lord, because we seek God, because we want a deeper relationship with God, and he will accomplish his purpose in us. Hallelujah. If we humble ourselves, if we seek righteousness, if we seek the Lord, he will turn back towards us. You know, God loves us, and he sings. We are the apple of his eye. This scripture, that verse gives a vivid description of God's love for his people. How he expresses his deep joy and satisfaction with us. He loves us, y'all. He loves us, and he certainly, when the people are wandering from him, turn back. He graciously showers his love upon us. Why? Because God is the God of love. It's like a bride that has been estranged from her husband, and her husband goes and seeks for his bride, and his bride returns back to him. And that is how God is to us. God, Yahweh, we are Yahweh's bride, and God longs for his bride to return back to him. God rejoices and joins with the people in singing. Hallelujah. He provides us with his divine love. God's amazing love for us is incapable to explain. God loved us so much that the picture is evident in the Son coming and dying on the cross. That's how much God loves us. So we are in a process of restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And certainly when we look at the core of God's being is love, and that's 1 John 4:8. And these are familiar scriptures. But Zephaniah sings the prelude to the kind of love that Jesus reveals on the cross. And that love surpasses knowledge. And I just want to get that in Ephesians 3:19 that says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. We are in a time, a difficult time. We are in a time where this has never been done before. But God is getting the glory. And we must remember that God will provide everything we need. It's a challenge. And certainly God will provide people to help and to assist those We are helpful one to another. And certainly if you have any questions or if there's a need, you can call me at 309-750-7584. And I will help you get the help you need because we are helpers one to another. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you. I worship you. I thank you, God, for the people on this line who have sacrificed to be on the line. I thank you, God, for each and every one, God, that heard this word. I pray, God, that you move mightily in their lives. I pray, God, that you continue to bless them, continue to provide restoration, God. Continue to show them what restoration looks like, Father God. We pray, God, that you heal, deliver those that are sick, God. We pray, God, that the angels of mercy we encamp round about us, Father God, that those that are attached to this phone line will be protected from COVID-19, Father God. We pray, God, the corona will not come our dwelling in the name of Jesus. We put the armor upon each and every one in the name of Jesus. We pray especially for those seniors, God, those, God, that have issues or underlying conditions, Father God, diabetes, high blood pressure, Father God, any other health issues, Father God, we pray for them right now, God. We pray for the covering, Father God. We pray, God, for all those, God, that are mothers, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for them, Father God, as we go into Mother's Day. And we pray, God, for even for my co-host, Father God, Evangelist Rogers, Father God, who lost her mother, Father God, but we strengthen, we ask, God, that you strengthen her, Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, you know the need, God. And we pray for each and every one, God, that has lost their mother, Father God, as we sit on the eve of Mother's Day, Father God, that are struggling, Father God. We pray, God, that you comfort their heart, Father God, and give them the spirit of praise, Father God, for the garment of heaviness, Father God. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you give them a praise down on the inside, Father God. We pray, God, that you move mightily, Father God. We pray, God, that you do it for them one more time, God, as you've done it in the past. God, you know, God, how to touch. You know how to deliver, God. You know how to move, God. You know how to give us, God, and touch our hearts and our minds, God. You know how to turn our face towards you, and God, give us a heart and a desire to seek more after you, God. Even as we are sheltered in, Father God, you know, God, you know the needs, God, and we pray even for those needs, God. We pray right now, God, that you heal, deliver, set free, God, all those that are suffering, God, all those, God, those that may be hungry, God. We pray, God, that you give them food, God, to eat, everything, God. You said you would supply all of our needs, not some of our needs, but all of them, God, and supply all of your people's needs, God, and save our unsaved loved ones, God. We pray, God, as those that are going on to meet you, those that are rejoicing in glories, those saints that are left here, God, just due to this disease, God, and those that are suffering, God, that are burying their loved ones. We pray for Pastor Hill, God, as he gets ready to bury his wife, God. We pray for his strength, God. We pray for his mind, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for everyone that has lost a loved one, God, that cannot, God, give them a send off as we normally would if we not had been quarantined. But Father God, you know. You know, God. You know their needs, and we pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for their strength. We pray for their understanding. We pray, God, for the healing of their body. We bind this disease right now, eradicated in the name of Jesus. We speak healing that this disease will leave in the name of Jesus. And as we go back to opening up, God, we pray, God, that it will come swiftly and quickly, God, in the name of Jesus. And we pray even now, God, they're talking about this disease or this virus will change, God. But we bind even the changes of the disease, God. We pray, God, for even the scientists, Father God. We pray for deliverance, God, in the name of Jesus. God, you know, God, give us wisdom and understanding. Give the saints wisdom on how to deal and what to do and how to do it. Vitamins, cleanliness, wisdom, understanding, crafty ideas. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, and guide and lead us. In all our ways we acknowledge you, and certainly we pray and know that you will direct our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless him. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Bless him. Hallelujah. God is good, saints. So God is restoring us. He's restoring and he's giving back to us the things that Satan has taken. And certainly there's a new anointing. There's new gifting that's flowing. We thank God for the next generation. Certainly we continue to pray for them. And we pray for each and every one of you. Again, Thursday, we're starting Amazing Grace School of Ministry. We'll be in session at 7 p.m. to deal effectively with coping skills and knowledge of this COVID-19 via the Bible, encouragement, empowerment to stand. And again, I ask that you continue to lift me up in prayer. I see you guys on next week or Thursday if you tune in. God bless. Bye-bye.